it's just getting really distracting because I'm getting a message like every day with a girl who wants to hang out with me.
Presented by its producer through the facilities of Manhattan Cable Television, in accordance with government regulations. We are not responsible for the content of this program, and its transmission does not imply our approval.
Long before people started sharing their most intimate secrets and desires on the internet, there was something called local cable public access television. And this is where anything and everything could happen.
These public access personalities, or these public access stars, if you may, just really, really expressed their true feelings and what they wanted to express over the media that couldn't be expressed on mainstream TV.
In 1979, a 9-year-old Joel Gutenberg discovered the Manhattan Public Access Channel on his cable set, and he was instantly hooked.
YouTube couldn't really capture seeing this live on TV, people really expressing their emotions or expressing their feelings. And it can go beyond, humor, it can be, or politics, it could be sex or real pornography. Just actually seeing it on your TV just really captured a full essence, a full flare of it, of you actually experiencing it in it actually live in person, or about as close as you could experience it to you doing it yourself.
I met Joel Gutenberg at the Museum of the Moving Image last weekend. We were both there to check out TV Party, a new exhibition celebrating the storied and colorful history of New York City public access television.
Oh, yeah!
For the next 2 weeks, the museum will be screening archival footage featuring many of the folks who transfixed viewers like young Joel Gutenberg.
Hi, welcome to the Scott and Gary Show. As you can see from the hearts, this is our Valentine's Day show, so we have one of the most romantic bands in New York City with us, the Beastie Boys.
You can see segments from the Scott and Gary Show, Coco Crystal's If I Can't Dance, Then You Can Keep Your Revolution.
Thank you. Here I am tonight, January 5th, 1983, and I've got a special show.
And the live show.
For you.
The program is guest curated by Nicholas Rapold and Leah Cherner. She told me that even though these shows are decades old, they still retain their vibrancy and relevance.
There's something really appealing about those, about watching recordings of those old live shows, even though it's like they were never meant to be seen again, but they're still just really fascinating because there's something about them that feels less dated than watching like a sitcom from 1982.
Opening night was billed as a reunion, and after the screening, many of the stars took the stage. William Hohauser from The Volk Show, Lisa Yap, and Michael Concepcion was there wearing his full-body Rapid T Rabbit costume. I was very excited to meet Jaime Davidovich, who is still active in the video art scene today. But he didn't like my YouTube comparison because, as he sees it, not just anyone could do public access TV.
To do a public access show, no matter how raw the show is, how primitive it is, it has to have some type of preparation because it's a 30-minute show. So even if you have no talent and you have a big ego and you go there and you prove yourself, you still have to be in front of a camera 30 minutes. And in YouTube, is you can do it a baby crying for 20 seconds and could be a big hit.
Who's the guy in the shades? Is that Chris Stein?
A lot of work goes into this. And I used to get very sensitive when people said, oh, that was terrible. That was a waste of time. I can't believe you're even doing that or spending your money. I had a vision that that's what I like to do. Basically, I wanted to do a show that I would like to watch.
Scott Lewis was the host of the Scott and Gary Show. And like Jaime Davidovich, he put a lot of work into his live show. Lewis did live comedy, and he hosted bands like the Butthole Surfers and Half Japanese. And while MTV was cool with ripping off his set design for remote control, They wouldn't even give him a PA job. He told me real TV just couldn't understand public access at all.
I met at a wedding a guy who was a producer, director for CBS, and told him about my show. He said, oh, I'd love to see it. So I go up to his office, great office, have my tapes. And as we were, you know, playing these tapes, including Stevie Moore and all these other cool bands, he said to me after, this is what we can do. We'll package your show as the worst bands in America. And I'm like, no, these aren't the worst. And this, I'm sitting there, and the guy's looking at me, well, package this as the worst bands in America. Great idea for a show. I'm like, no, that's not a great idea for a show. That's not my show. You know, and I don't think you quite understand. These are actually pretty cool bands, and people do like it.
20 years later, it seems that some folks still don't get it. George Stoney is considered one of the grandfathers of public access television, and he was also in attendance. But when he took the stage, he railed at the curators, accusing them of celebrating the absolute worst of public access. I asked him afterwards why he was so angry.
The kind of trivial, tasteless material that we saw tonight. I'm not saying that people don't have the right to waste their time. They have a right to make themselves ridiculous. But that's not what I'm fighting for.
It seemed like you were a little upset. At first I thought it was because you were sitting next to a man in a rabbit suit, but it seemed like you were angry about something else.
No, the person in the rabbit suit represents the kind of triviality that this panel represented.
What was missing for you tonight?
All the community programs, all the things that cause people to not only watch television, but get something from it.
Welcome to the Wild Record Collection with me, your host, Snuffles! That's right, it's the show.
It's really sad that George Stoney is so angry about the show at the Museum of the Moving Image, because a lot of the material being celebrated is material which has gone to inspire other citizens to take up the tools of production and make their own TV, which is the whole point of this community affair. This is what I learned from Tony Arena and Ron Grunwald, who host The Wild Record Party, a program that's still airing on public access. If you've never seen this program before, you need to go to YouTube immediately and check it out.
That's right, it's the show where we like to show you record covers, like so, and play you cuts from those records, like so, and have an awful lot of fun, like so, and dance around a lot, woo!
I love doing it. It's my artistic outlet. I have a speech and drama degree, and I don't do any of that anymore at all. And it kind of lets me let off a little bit of steam through the character of Snuffles, who's much nicer than I am. He's very much like me, but he's much, much nicer.
Can I ask him something real quick?
You can.
I can?
You can.
Watching a lot of this stuff tonight, did you feel connected to that? That like you guys were like sort of carrying on a torch of like this kind of fun, or not even. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Did you feel like connected to like some of this older stuff you saw today?
Oh, absolutely. We really, really do. A lot of it was about music that you saw, and about freedom and expressing yourself and having a really, really good time. And that's what we really like. And in fact, we told Rabbit T. Rabbit that he was one of our biggest influences, and he really, really was. We used to watch that show and said, "How nutty! How crazy! And it really looks like a lot of work goes into it." And we'd like to be able to do that sometime, and we did.
This episode of Too Much Information is called Free to Behave Like a Fool or a Machine. It was produced by myself, Benjamin Walker, with Bill Bowen and Laura Mayer. It featured Andrew Keen, Ada Calhoun, Alex Morris, Dieter Bigo, Matthew Battles, Nick Vanderkolk, and everyone I spoke to at the public access show at the Museum of the Moving Image. There's more information on the WFMU playlist page at wfmu.org, and that's where you can subscribe to the TMI podcast as well.